Here we go. Former MVP Cam Newton is officially off the free agent market after reaching an agreement with the Patriots on a one-year incentive-laden deal last night. Newton will join Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer in the Patriots quarterback room as the team looks to replace the legendary Tom Brady.
Say it with me, folks. Cameron Newton is a New England Patriot. On Sunday, sources told ESPN the former MVP is headed to Foxborough on a team-friendly deal. And once again, Bill Belichick looks smarter than everyone else. But did he really outfox the rest of the league? Bill Barnwell joins the show to discuss why Cam didn't garner more interest, how he fits into the New England offense, and whether the Patriots are once again contenders. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, June 30th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. All right, Bill, we're here today to talk about the New England Patriots and Cam, specifically the camera they used to film the Cincinnati Bengals sideline, for which they were fined over $1 million and lost a third-round pick.
Well, the good news, Mina, is that they've decided to uproot their entire organization and totally change their plan at quarterback to bury the latest piece of evidence that they're maybe not playing by the same rules as everybody else.
Bill Barnwell is the host of the podcast, The Bill Barnwell Show. You jest, but there are people on the internet positing that these events are connected. Of course, we are here today to talk about the other Cam. Cam Newton, the New England Patriots. Who could have predicted this?
Everyone knows the Panthers are going to release Cam, so they're going to wait, and the Patriots are going to get him for nothing, and then they're going to be good, and it's going to be awful. And that's the really-
It was impossible up to this point. The idea that the only team in the league that needs a starting quarterback might possibly make a move for the best available starting quarterback on the free agent market.
See, it sounds so obvious when you lay it out like that, but here's the thing. It's June, and according to our Adam Schefter, no other teams, with the exception of the Browns, who had some interest, put in a call. And then New England goes out, and they get Cam for basically nothing, veteran minimum with incentives. How? Bill, how?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, obviously, the coronavirus has impacted teams' ability to see workouts, to administer physicals, and Cam Newton, of course, is a player coming off of a serious injury, a Lisfranc injury to the middle of his foot, which cost him pretty much the entire 2019 season. Before that, coming off of a shoulder surgery, has not been healthy in a while, and so you would figure in a typical circumstance, it would be easy for teams to kind of see what Cam has left and then make an offer accordingly, but there haven't really been teams able to make him the sort of offers that would justify a starting quarterback role. And then, I think from Cam's perspective, he rightfully would rather be making less money with the opportunity to start for the New England Patriots, a playoff team from a year ago, than serve as a perhaps higher paid backup in a spot where he's unlikely to play.
Knowing how little New England paid for him, and looking back at some of the other quarterbacks who got jobs during free agency, are there any teams that you think would have been wise to jump ahead of New England, and why is it Chicago?
I do think that the decision to trade for Nick Foles, a player who realistically has, if not a worse injury history than Cam Newton, certainly a comparable injury history when it comes to his checkered past, I do think that the Bears would have been in much better shape to not trade a draft pick and to sign Cam Newton for much less money than they're going to give Nick Foles over the next 3 years. And I think there's a handful of teams, even if it had been as a backup. I think teams like the Steelers, of course, you've talked about the Titans as a possible Cam Newton location. And I think absolutely teams like that who have a veteran quarterback with a history of injuries and very little behind them in the backup role would have absolutely been smart to make a move for Cam Newton. But obviously, I think it's to the Patriots' benefit that the league has been so conservative when it's come to approaching him.
Let's talk about what we can expect out of Cam Newton, which I realize, Bill, you are not a doctor, but that the big question mark is, as you've outlined, his health. The last time we saw him play football was the beginning of the 2019 season. He only played a couple of games before his season ended due to a foot injury he incurred during the preseason. What did you see out of Cam the last time he was healthy?
The last extended stretch we saw from Cam Newton as a healthy quarterback was the first half of 2018, and he was excellent.
Newton throws end zone. Samuel jumps up, makes the catch, middle of the end zone, touchdown!
The Panthers were one of the best teams in football at 6-2. Newton was 10th in passer rating and 12th in QBR, and the Panthers had built a scheme that was designed to actually try and get the ball out more quickly and alleviate some of the hits that Cam had been taking, and we saw his numbers improve accordingly.
Snap to Newton, looking left, throws it over the middle, touchdown, Greg Olsen! Cam Newton looking like a poster on feet, and a score.
Cam had thrown deep so frequently earlier in his career that he'd always posted pretty mediocre completion percentages. In 2018, across the first half, he had a completion percentage of 67.3%. That was one of the best marks in football. He was averaging nearly 4 touchdowns for every pick, producing nearly 280 yards per game from scrimmage. He was a legitimate MVP candidate through the first half of 2018. And then, of course, the injuries struck.
Labrum, rotator cuff, just shoulder soreness.
He had a shoulder injury that led to surgery after 2018. And then the foot injury.
Cam stumbles and now moves to the near side. He's in trouble. He's going to hit and drop for a sack. Cam comes off the field limping a little bit, maybe an ankle.
Which he tried to play through and was unable to do so. And I think there's an important distinction there. If you were not paying close attention to Cam Newton, you saw him suffer a shoulder injury. His numbers declined accordingly. And then last year, he was not able to throw the ball effectively. And so I think there is this perception that he has a shoulder injury that is not healed. And I don't think that's the case. In watching him play closely last year, he had zip on his throws. His shoulder was fine. He just couldn't plant. And so he was sailing throws. He was inaccurate. His foot was the problem, not his shoulder. So if Cam underwent foot surgery and the foot surgery was successful, which certainly in the case of players like Matt Schaub and Taysom Hill, they've been able to recover from Lisfranc injuries in the past with surgery, Cam Newton should be healthy. And a healthy Cam Newton is one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Richard Sherman, all-pro cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers, tweeted, "How many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum? Asking for a friend," in parentheses. Just ridiculous. "A transcendent talent and less talented QBs are getting $15 to $16 million a year. Disgusting." I want to now immediately go check who's making $15 to $16 million because I imagine Richard Sherman looked it up. But what do you make of that? And honestly, what's been a pretty weird market for quarterbacks overall, right? With Andy Dalton making just over $1 million to play in Dallas, Jameis Winston getting about the same to be a backup in New Orleans. Is there a unifying reason behind all of this?
The reality, unfortunately, is that NFL contracts aren't about talent. They're about leverage. And it's the reason why a really talented player 2 years from free agency takes less money than a guy on the open market. It's why Kirk Cousins, a good quarterback, but I think most people would say not a great quarterback, was able to get so much money guaranteed because he had all the leverage as a unrestricted free agent. And I think we saw with Cam, I mean, this is a guy who unfortunately did not have much leverage. The Panthers had no guaranteed money left on Cam Newton's deal. It was very easy for them to release him. They could wait until whenever they wanted to make that cut. And Cam was not someone who was in a position to show off what he could do. And I do agree with Richard Sherman that less talented players are making more money than Cam Newton. That is absolutely positively true. It's also not anything new when it comes to the NFL. So when it comes to Cam, again, could he have made more money as a backup somewhere else? I absolutely think that. But from Cam Newton's perspective, if you're optimizing to make the most money this upcoming season, Cam Newton should have taken a different offer from a different team. If you're optimizing to make the most money in the long term, I think this was the best landing spot and most likely the best contract Cam Newton should have taken.
What you're describing, this idea of Cam going to New England and, you know, sort of rebuilding his rep and potentially getting a bigger contract down the road, Bailey, reminds me of one Darrell Revis, who, of course, Richard Sherman is quite familiar with. All right, after the break, let's talk about Cam's football fit in the Patriots offense. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Bill, before we break down Cam's fit in the New England offense and how they can optimize his skill set, I should start with a basic question. Is this his job?
I mean, I guess it's not out of the question with the Patriots, who have spent all offseason telling us how great Jared Stidham is and how he's their quarterback of the future, could bring Cam in and give the job to Jared Stidham. That's not impossible. But I think, given what we know about Jared Stidham, given what we know about a healthy Cam Newton, I think the chances of a healthy Jared Stidham being better than a healthy Cam Newton are pretty slim. I really do think they're not very high. And so I think for Bill Belichick, he has a veteran football team. He has a defense that is certainly Super Bowl capable, given their performance from a year ago. He has an offensive line that is very strong and very effective running the football when everyone's healthy. I would imagine the best thing for that football team would be to start Cam Newton. And I think Bill Belichick is going to do whatever it takes to win, given, of course, the news that we saw elsewhere from the Patriots on Sunday.
The other Cam news. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is the 45 minutes you and I spent talking about Jarrett Stidham on my other podcast was not time well spent.
Unfortunately, Mina, the preseason tape that we grinded for the Jarrett Stidham era may have been a waste.
Well, let's talk about the X's and O's and how this might look, because as you wrote in your column, the Patriots offense has looked very different depending on who's under center or in shotgun. What do you think Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels will do with Cam Newton?
Mina, this is going to sound strange, but hear me out. I think Cam Newton is less a replacement for Tom Brady and more of a replacement for Rob Gronkowski. And here's why. So I think outside of the, 2007 Patriots, where they were just able to blow teams out with their receiving talent, under Josh McDaniels, and really over the past decade, because they've had Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots offense was built around versatility and manipulating teams with their pre-snap personnel groupings and then beating them after the snap with whatever they were weakest at. Go back to the Super Bowl against the Rams. The Patriots scored a touchdown, the only touchdown in the game, on a drive where they ran the same play three times, and they came out with a fullback, a running back, two tight ends, and a wide receiver, a very run-heavy set, and threw the ball.
Shotgun snap, arches a pass down the near sideline, over the shoulder, diving catch at the five, Gronkowski, down to the two. It's a pickup of 29, first and goal to go, New England. What a catch by Gronkowski.
That is what the Patriots do best. When the opposing team thinks you're going to run the ball, the Patriots throw the ball, and vice versa. Last year, they were not able to do that because they didn't have Gronkowski. They didn't have that sort of unique piece that makes their offense so different and so unique and so effective. And they have that with Cam Newton now. Cam Newton is somebody where if the Patriots come out with a four-wide set, Cam Newton can run the ball very effectively as a power runner against a smaller, lighter box of defenders. And the opposite's true. When the Patriots come out with two running backs and two tight ends, and it looks like they're going to run the ball, well, Cam Newton is an excellent play-action passer and a guy who can absolutely take advantage of a team coming out with a bigger defense. adding Cam Newton gives the Patriots the sort of versatility they didn't have last year without Rob Gronkowski. And their offense, we saw it. Even with Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of football, their offense struggled mightily as a result.
Bill, I have no doubt that Josh McDaniels can come up with the sort of game plan you're describing. What I do question is whether the Patriots have the weapons to execute it. This group of skill players isn't exactly a murderer's row. Do you think they'll be good enough to help Cam Newton elevate this offense?
I do. We are sort of thinking about this offense at the end of last season when their top two wide receivers, Julian Edelman and Mohamed Sanu, both had injuries that were dragging their performance down. They had a rookie first-round pick who was playing like a rookie first-round pick, which is inconsistent, at wide receiver in N'Keal Harry. Their tight ends were a mess. Sonny Michel was injured. Their offensive line wasn't as effective. There was very little around Tom Brady over the second half of that season, and we saw it in how they performed. Now, Edelman and Sanu are going to be healthy. Harry has another year in the offense. They drafted two tight ends in the third round this year, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene. I think they're in a much better place to surround whoever the quarterback is with weapons than it might seem given how they played at the end of 2019.
So let me ask you this then. Do you think they're good enough to win the AFC East now and even beyond that?
Yes, I do. I think obviously the Bills are a great football team, and I think the Bills were probably better than the Patriots last year given their offense, but I think this is a defense that we know. Their peak is the best defense in football. They were phenomenal. They were one of the best defenses in football history a year ago. So even if they decline a bit, you would figure a healthier offense and an effective quarterback in Cam Newton would be enough to propel them to a division title. Do I think they can compete for a Super Bowl with a healthy Cam Newton? I do. I think that we saw in 2015 that you surround Cam Newton with okay weapons and a good offensive line and a very good defense, and Cam can take you pretty far. So I absolutely think the Patriots are in that discussion in a way they weren't before signing Cam yesterday.
Well, let's look even beyond that, Bill, because this is a one-year deal. And let's say Cam comes in and he's healthy and he dominates and the Patriots make a deep playoff run. Do you think he's their quarterback of the future?
Well, as someone who was with you grinding that Jared Stidham tape, I'm hoping not, so we can get some use out of that. I think the Patriots certainly can make that happen if they're so inclined. We don't know if they have the right to franchise Cam at the end of this contract, but they have over $80 million in cap space next year. And the cap concerns that were there for Brady this year are not the case in 2021. But I think at the end of the day, this could be a Ryan Tannehill-esque situation for the Patriots.
Thanks so much, Bill. I cannot wait for the first Cam Newton press conference.
Can I just throw something out there?
Yeah.
If you want it, Cam Back Player of the Year. You can have that if you want it.
Cam Back Player of the Year. Wow. I'm going to pass.
You can't have it anymore. I'm saving it for my podcast.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks, Amina.
Coming up, baseball hopes to crown a new champion this year. But how will that champ be remembered? Here's another story I want you to know. The last time we saw baseball players on the field before the world imploded, we were talking about whether the Astros World Series victory would be given an asterisk. Now, as baseball gingerly approaches a return, we're examining whether this year's champion will also have an asterisk. For very different reasons, of course. Given that the regular season will only last 60 games, it seems likely that the outcome will be different from what might happen in a normal year. The Nationals, of course, last year's champs, actually had a losing record at the 60-game mark last season. But they're also an aberration. 538's Travis Sawchuk wrote in a recent story that only two winners ever were under 500 through 60 games, the Nationals and the 2003 Marlins. Now, a longer season versus a shorter one does affect who gets into the playoffs. According to Sawchuk, historically, 60% of teams with a top 10 winning percentage through 60 games eventually get in, versus 81% at the end of a regular season. But that doesn't mean a longer season does a better job of separating the wheat from the chaff. According to another piece in 538, this one by Neil Payne, the best team in baseball, using 538's ELO system, has won the World Series 22% of the time. Now, if you stopped every season at 60 games, the best team would win 15% of the time. So yes, a shorter season does mean there will be more randomness, but baseball is already pretty random. And for some of us, like myself, a Mariners fan with very low expectations anyways, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.